Yo, bud.
Hey, Hassan, how's it going? Thanks for doing this interview with me. We'll try to make it about 20 minutes. We'll make it quick.
Oh, perfect.
So to get things started, I guess, what's your full name? And I guess, what's your role? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
My full name is Hassan Tayyum. I'm the field operations manager. I handle basically everything regarding literally what the name sounds like. So I handle buying the vehicles. I handle coordinating with the drivers, picking up, drop-offs. I handle customer feedback, dealing with the customer side of things. If anybody has any complaints, stuff like that. If we need to resolve issues with a customer or get things figured out, that's where I step in as well.
Okay. And I guess just to be clear, so we know Samir is a co-owner, and then I am the other co-owner. So just to get the structure nice and clear and put out there, I guess how it works is, do you want to explain it? You might be able to explain it a little bit better than me.
So you guys are the co-owners. I'm kind of the guy who handles everything in the field. I'll be the one who goes, buys the cars and get most of the transactions done. You guys handle more of like the back end kind of things and generally put in the funds for it, I guess.
Right. So I guess Samir is more the funder of the operation, and he goes and sees vehicles himself as well. So a lot of customers are talking to Samir, and sometimes they're talking to you.
Yeah. So it just depends, honestly, who you get your look with.
Right. And I guess how long have you been in the car business for? And
I have.
And I guess what did you do before Drive Offer as well? Looks like we're having some issues with the sun. We'll get him right back in super quick.
Hey.
Hey, Hassan.
I don't know. I lost you there for a second.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, we'll see what's going on with...
Hey, sorry. I'm back. I figured out what the issue was.
Okay, perfect.
Well, sorry.
We'll continue where we left off. Last
question.
What'd you do before Drive Offer? And... how long have you been in the car business for?
So, sorry, as I was saying, I used to do many things before getting into cars. I used to do concrete, carpentry. I've done, what's it called? I've worked warehouse, McDonald's, if you'd believe it. But, and then I slowly got into cars and started learning wholesale. I just fell in love with it, man. Like, buying cars is a passion. You get to meet different people. You get put in different situations. You get to adapt. You get to learn. You get to grow.
Right. You're a man of many talents, then.
I try.
So
it's nice to know. Knowledge is power.
Absolutely. And did you have any training, certifications, trade qualifications that are worth mentioning?
So I don't really have like many qualifications that I could tell you like on paper, but I could tell you from like my personal experiences, like the stories that I would have, because trust me, there are a lot of things that I have witnessed firsthand that not a lot of people could say that they have done or they have experienced. Not really more of like a paper sense, but I could tell you everything.
So you have a lot of hands-on experience, and you've been doing it for a while now.
Exactly. I've been doing it for about 3 years. So 3 years and going forward, hopefully.
Right. So yeah, you have You have, you know, about how many vehicles you've bought over your entire career about now?
I want to say I've probably been like, I'm probably around like the 500 mark, honestly.
Oh, wow. So you've bought quite a few vehicles. You have a lot of experience then.
I would say so. You can always learn new things. And when you're, trust me, there's a lot of different situations that you'll be put in this line of work that you'll have to adapt to. But once you understand how it generally works, it's a very good, it's a very good company. It's a very good business to be in.
Right. And I guess we'll get into a bit of the process. So do you want to kind of walk me through the buying process, all the different things you handle, I guess, from start to finish, from a transaction, I guess, when the customer comes to you, maybe through our website, they fill out some information, all the way till when they hand their keys over and get paid.
So generally when somebody inquires to sell their vehicle, like let's say, for example, a 2019 Toyota RAV4, we just look at what they have listed. So if it has accidents, if it has damage, the mileage, the trim, everything regarding the vehicle, we'll get the value of it. And then we'll look at what price would work best for us and what would work best for our customer as well. And then after that, we negotiate if we can make a deal that everybody's happy with. We'll set a time, we'll set a date. We'll go to pick up the vehicle. We'll head to the bank. If the car has a loan, the loan needs to be cleared out first. We'll get a payout quote from the lien holder. So like let's for example say that's TD Bank. We'll head to TD Bank, get a payout quote, head to RBC, get you a bank draft for the loan. And then if we have to pay you out as well, we'll get you your bank draft issued as well. And then we'll head pay out the loan, get you paid out, sign the paperwork, and we'll be out of here. It's as simple as that.
That sounds simple enough. And I guess what's the first thing people usually ask when they get on a phone call with you or Samir?
Well, not a lot of people believe in how easy it is. A lot of people think sometimes it's a scam. It's like when you call a customer and you're asking for some information, for example, some people don't like sharing the VIN. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it's a pain sometimes to deal with. But it's also understandable. Some people don't want to release their information, and that's totally their choice. You can't force nobody on anything. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to just make it more seamless, make it more flawless. Just people's time is valuable to us. So that when we can excel in making ourselves faster and ourselves better, more people would get attracted, if you get what I mean.
Right. And you were talking about the VIN. Some people are saying that they're scared to hand over their VIN. What would you say to those people? Is there any risk associated when you hand over a VIN like that? Or what would you say about that?
So when you're handing over a VIN, it's normally nothing to really worry about. If they're just looking to get a Carfax, sometimes people are just looking to get like a general valuation of a car, because some details you don't really see until you have the VIN. It just gives you a little bit more of an accurate number. That's all it really is for us. I wouldn't say you should really worry about it. Unless you have a loan on the car, it's basically fine. Even if you do have a loan on the car, as long as there's not really any sensitive information, just an address that shows where the lien is, where it was issued, who the lien holder is, and their contact info. That's about it. Doesn't show no phone numbers, no nothing.
So is this a risk that if they were trying to sell somewhere else, let's say Facebook Marketplace, is there a risk handing your VIN over in that sense?
Generally, no.
Okay.
But of course, this isn't the perfect world that we live in.
Right. So there could be unknown risks, but as far as you know, there's no reason you should not be sharing a VIN with someone who's intending to buy.
Exactly. Some people prefer to give the VIN on spot, but again, it just slows down our process if we have to go out to every single person and get like the VIN manually. And of course, that's not saying it, so it's a waste of our time. It's just there's so much things to do that just adding that extra thing would mess up the schedule.
Right. And I guess what are people most worried about when dealing with drive offer, and how do you usually respond to that?
Again, they're just worried that it's a scam. Like, some people, it just doesn't make sense. And what we're just trying to do is we're just trying to prove to people that we are what we say we are. We're just looking to make things simple for people, make things easier.
Right. And how often has someone already tried selling privately when they come to you, or even after we give them an offer, they say this is not a good enough offer, they go try to sell privately, and what do they usually say when they come back later?
They'll just ask if the offer is still available, honestly. Like, I bought a car almost a year after. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter where when the time happens. We're always going to be able to buy a car. As long as the offer is still strong enough, we will honor our offer and we'll get it done.
Right.
We don't really care about the time frame. You can always come back to us anytime. Even if that's something you wanted to try to sell it privately, that's totally your call.
Yeah, so I guess if we give them an offer and they don't want to take it, then they want to try their luck with the private market, they can always come back and sell to you, and there's no hard feelings.
Exactly. No, everybody has free will at the end of the day, my friend.
Right. And what's usually the common reasons someone might hang up the phone and say they don't want to sell versus someone deciding to book an appointment with DriveOffer?
So I'd honestly say the difference is sometimes people's expectations of what their car's value is not really accurate with the market, if you get what I mean. Like, that's not saying that it's just where we go purely based off the numbers, not based off of emotion. You get what I mean?
Right.
Some people are into cars for loans that are $10,000 over what the car is worth. And to be put in that situation, you're probably going to end up paying out of pocket. Correct me if I'm wrong. And not a lot of people would want to pay up $10,000 at the same time.
Right. And a lot of the times you guys give offer range for vehicles rather than a specific set price. Do people usually expect the offer to change when they show up, and when the car is inconsistent with the information they provided, what do you normally tell them?
So let's say I were to show up to a vehicle and there is like bumps and scrapes that were not mentioned to me. I just simply tell the customer like, hey, this is what I'm looking at. And it was not mentioned to me. My offer was in the condition that was mentioned. And I hope that there's something that we could work out, because, again, it wasn't mentioned.
Right.
So how could I have made an offer? If I'd known the condition, my offer would have been different. Is there any, like, room that we can make it fair for both of us? So my time is not wasted and your time is not wasted, because it's both valuable.
And when you go see a vehicle, if, let's say, you give them a specific offer, where you tell them, we'll give you this number for your vehicle. You get there, you show up, the vehicle is exactly as described. Do you always give them the same price, or are you generally trying to haggle them down?
No, we're trying to make it as easy as possible. So if the condition of the vehicle is exactly as mentioned, we will more than happily make the transaction 10 to 15 minutes. It can be as fast as that. And not a lot of people believe it. A lot of people are worried about being scammed. And I've had it happen to me many times where I've gotten caught up in a bank, because not a lot of people are aware of bank drafts. They're aware of how bank drafts used to be, not with the new updates, I guess, they brought to their procedure.
Can you explain those updates with bank drafts and about when they happened?
So I want to say about 2 years ago, bank drafts, you can issue them on the spot and we'll go to the bank and they'll deposit the money right away and you'll have like all the funds available to you. So like, let's say it was $40,000, you'd have the $40,000 right away. But 2 years ago, they changed it to where the funds have to be on hold for 4 to 5 business days. They also did have a period where they could call to verify it, but they stopped doing that about a year ago because it's just too much of a hassle calling the banks and getting it verified. Just too much fraud. So now, in 2026, you have to have a 4 to 5 day hold regardless of the bank, unless you're doing from a bank to bank. So let's say you're with RBC and it's going to RBC, they'll more than likely, they'll clear the bank draft right away because it's internal. But when you go external to different banks, they're going to hold it. Typically, is from what I've seen.
And what do sellers normally ask you when it comes to bank drafts?
They're just worried that the funds are not there. Like, I went to Lethbridge to go buy a car. I got there at 1 p.m. I ended up leaving at 6 p.m. because the gentleman had a loan on it, and he was just concerned that the loan wouldn't get closed because we had to do a bill payment. He had his bank allowed to us to do a bill payment, so we just got the bank information and the loan amount, and we paid off the vehicle. But his concern was that we would cancel it. And honestly, the only thing that he could go off of was my word. And I can show you the messages I have as well. He texted me when he got the lien release. But he was very happy overall. And we're not trying to scam anybody. We're just trying to do our business. We're just very quick, very efficient. And we're just trying to get people to understand how the bank system works now.
So if you send a bank draft, is there any way for you to cancel that bank draft after it's sent?
So if I get issued a bank draft for, let's say, $30,000, as soon as that bank draft is issued, that is cash. So if you lose that bank draft, you lost $30,000. But the bank draft can only be deposited to the name that it's issued to. Okay? When the bank draft is deposited, so that's why we typically go to the bank, whatever bank the person is with afterwards, so they can deposit it. Because when it is deposited, I cannot cancel it. It is very, very, very hard to do, and they have to open an investigation because it's already been deposited. Even though the funds are still on hold, it's very hard to do that. But not a lot of people understand that, because I get it. Again, it's fear of money. You're talking about usually big sums.
Right. You're tens of thousands of dollars oftentimes.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's no way, or at least it would be very, very, very difficult to be able to get your money back after issuing a bank draft. And even then, if you're doing it fraudulently, there's essentially no way to get this done.
Exactly. For most people, as long as you go to the bank with a person and you see the bank draft being issued, almost 99% of the time that bank draft is 100% legit. There's, of course, that 0.9% that the bank messed up and the funds are not there. But again, that's very, very hard for them to do, because I promise you the bank will care more about the funds being there than you will.
Right. And I guess getting more into the seller experience, what do people normally say when you arrive, and what were they usually expecting?
Honestly, for most of my transactions, when I arrive, I just greet the people, we just quickly chat. I take a look around the vehicle. I walk around the body, look for any dents, dings, scrapes, anything that might have been missed in photos or was not mentioned. We'll then quickly go for a test drive. Just make sure the car drives smooth. There's no clunking, no nothing. Once that is over with, we'll head back to either the house or to the bank, whichever it is. And if there's any negotiation that needs to be done, We'll try to talk with the customer. We'll try to make something that's fair and works for both of us. And then we'll move forward from there. Whether we proceed with the car or whether we decline, that's something that I couldn't tell you for sure.
Right. And I guess what has gone wrong at a pickup? Or what are things that have gone wrong in the past? And how do you normally fix them? Or how do you normally come up with a solution?
Honestly, 10 times out of 10, it's just something wasn't mentioned. So not a lot of people know this, but a cracked taillight is actually a very expensive fix. It's about $800 for just a single side. Well, depending, of course, on the year, make, model, that's all different. But it's typically within that range. And when there's condensation in the taillight, that's something that we have to replace. And I've had it happen to me at least, I want to say, 4 to 5 times where I've showed up there's condensation in the taillight, and the customer does not really want to go down in price because to them it's just simple. Just condensation in the taillight. What difference does it make? But to us, that's something that impacts the value of the car. So we'll just have to...
Why does condensation specifically impact the car so much? What does that normally indicate with the car? And why is it such an... Why does it require a full change?
So if there's condensation in the taillight, that means that there's either a seal that's broken in the taillight or the taillight is cracked.
Okay, so it does indicate that it is broken.
Exactly. So it's just allowing air and water to get into the taillight, you know what I mean? Right. The taillight is not, most of the time will still work, but obviously if there's water in the taillight, that's not good.
Of course. And what usually surprises people at inspections?
Honestly, how quick we are.
How long does it normally take for you to do an inspection from start to finish? From, I guess, handshake to handshake?
From handshake to handshake?
Yeah.
Typically, I want to say an hour. If the car has a loan, I could say maybe an hour and a half, just depending on, like, the lines in the bank. Not necessarily, like, it's something that's on us. But for every car, it's different. Some cars, you'll do it in 30 minutes. Some cars, you'll do it in 6 hours.
And do the customers normally need to come in having everything figured out, or is that something you normally guide them through?
Well, I try to guide them through as best as possible. Of course, I don't want to seem like a know-it-all, but I know what I'm doing. I know my job.
Right.
So I just try to explain it as best as I can in a professional manner that, hey, this is typically what the process is from start to finish. We just check out the car. We test drive it. We'll get the paperwork, we'll go to the bank, we'll get the paperwork signed, we'll finish up everything, and then bada bing, bada bang, we're out of your hair.
And do any of your customers usually come in a little bit nervous, and how do you normally handle that?
Oh, yeah. So let me give you an example, actually. Maybe 3 weeks prior, I was out in Kelowna, I was actually buying a truck from a lovely couple up there, and the lady was concerned again, about a bank draft, because she's like, I'm just worried that, you know, the money. I was like, you know what? Here, listen. Do either of you guys have a RBC account? They said yes. The wife had one, actually. So what I did is I did an account transfer, put the money in her account, and then got her to issue the bank draft to pay out the loan. And then she got her money. Like, it just came all out of her account just to make her feel more comfortable, more happy with the transaction. It's not something that's really going to affect me because, again, the money's going. I know exactly where it's going, and it all worked out.
So you have,
we just try to make it.
You have a lot of experience when it comes to these type of transactions, and you generally try to walk them through whatever way makes them feel the most comfortable, even if they all end up the same.
Exactly.
Right, and I guess, what is the most memorable seller you've dealt with?
The most memorable? Well, honestly, the funniest story to me, and it's still insane. Me and Sam, we actually went to go check out a car here in St. Albert. And we showed up at the agreed upon time. We checked out the car. We test drove it. We made the deal. And we were about to head into the bank to issue him the bank draft. And the guy was like, hey, I want to check if my bank's open. Would you guys be all right if you guys just waited a couple minutes? It's right down the road. We're like, no problem. We just got back in our car and we were just waiting there. A couple minutes later, I look behind me and what do I see? The same car, but the car is demolished, Josh. Like, the whole front end is on the floor. So I'm like, I told Sam, I'm like, hey, I think that's the car that we were supposed to buy. He's like, you're joking. So we backed up and we went to go drive by the guy and we're like, hey, what happened? He's like, I was coming out and the truck came flying out of nowhere. And yeah, what happened happened.
What are the odds?
Literally, what are the odds? And unfortunately, we couldn't end up buying it, but that's what ended up happening.
Right. So no deal came out of that.
Unfortunately not, but it was definitely an experience.
And I guess, what kind of person normally sells a car to drive offer? And
somebody
usually selling?
So I feel like the people that would normally sell to us is somebody who wants something quick, easy, simple.
Right.
They just want like a nice, fair transaction. We try to provide that as best as we can. We're not trying to make tens of thousands of dollars off every single car. We're just trying to simply make things possible for people. And at the same time, we're in the quantity, not gross business.
Right. And what do sellers forget to take out of their vehicle prior to bringing it to you?
What did they forget to take out the car? Sometimes people forget, honestly, dash cams. I've seen that happen quite a lot. Like, it's not something that really increases value in cars. If you guys want to keep your dash cams, that's totally optional. It's, again, you paid for it, you can keep it. It doesn't really change things for us. But we just please ask that the condition of the car remains intact, because we've had it happen before where the A-pillar came out and it would not go back in.
Right.
And that was not fun to deal with.
And what happens if someone leaves something in the car and they text you the next day saying they forgot to get it? Is that something where you say, sorry, you left it, it's ours now? Or how does that normally work?
No, we'll try to get it back to them as soon as possible. For example, one time I bought a Lexus IS350 from a gentleman here in Edmonton. And he texted me the next day. He had forgotten his AirPods. They fell beside the driver's seat. And I told him, no problem. Got it back to him literally the same day, dropped it off to his house, and everybody was happy.
All right, so you guys are pretty flexible when it comes to that. You want to make your customers happy.
Of course, we try to do our best. Like, can I give you another example of something that we've done before?
Yeah, of course.
So one time, I went to go buy a car from Calgary, and it was a Toyota Highlander. But the guy was worried about the bank draft because it has that 4 to 5 day business hold.
Right.
And he was just concerned, again, about the money not being there. I tried to reassure him as best as I can, but the guy asked me, he's like, listen, would you be all right if I park the car in my garage until next week, until the funds are clear? As soon as they're clear, you can come take the car, do whatever you need. I was like, listen, you're putting me in a tough situation, but I get it. You're worried. It's $30,000. No problem. Just park it in the garage. As long as the mileage stays the same, when I come to pick it up, I have no issue keeping it in your garage. We kept it there, actually parked for a week and I want to say 2 days, if I'm not wrong, and we picked it up. The guy was very, very happy, and he actually wanted to sell us another vehicle, but unfortunately, we couldn't make a deal.
And I guess, what are questions sellers should ask you prior to making a deal, but often don't?
That's a great question. Honestly, sometimes just people don't ask like how it's going to go. If somebody asks me like prior to me going to check out a vehicle, like, hey, how's this going to work? I just sit down and explain to them quickly, like, this is a rundown of what we do, how long our process typically is, because sometimes people have work. So they don't account for if a car has a loan, if we need to go pay it out, if we need to go from point A to point B. Travel time adds a lot of time. So I feel like that's something that sometimes people need to consider. And at the same time, our time is valuable. And I get it. Sometimes people don't know about previous cars, like car accidents, sorry. But so I've had a couple instances where I've asked people like, hey, is there like any claims or accidents on the vehicle? They'll tell me, no, there's nothing. And then you do the Carfax and it has a total loss claim.
Right.
At that point, it was just a waste of time. And it happens. It's nobody's fault at the end of the day. It's just, I feel like it would be a lot more helpful if people just understood how the process worked. And that's why we're doing this, so we can try to make them as clear as we can.
Right. So it's all getting checked. So it's not really a situation where you can fool you guys selling you a vehicle. And not saying, I guess that's what the customers are doing. I guess a lot of the time they just don't know.
Yeah. Like, another example is there was a Audi S4 that I went to go buy from Vancouver. I flew in to go buy that car. And when I checked out the vehicle, it was leaking oil. And the gentleman was telling me, he was completely honest. He's like, hey, the car overheated with me before in the Coca-Cola. So I just spoke with the gentleman. I told him, like, hey, it had a couple, like, aftermarket upgrades. So I just told him, like, this is a big concern for me, especially if it's leaking from the valve cover gasket. That's a very expensive fix. That's like a couple thousand dollars. So we ended up speaking with the gentleman. We ended up making a deal, thank God, and we got the car picked up. But I would have been stuck in Vancouver if that didn't work out.
So even if there's a issue with the vehicle on inspection, maybe the individual doesn't know much about cars. They haven't brought it to a mechanic or anything. So they come, they make a deal with you. You arrive and the car's not as expected. You still buy the vehicle. You still update your offer on the spot.
Yeah, 100%. We don't like to pass on vehicles. We like to buy as much as we can, but it just has to make sense. It doesn't make sense to buy a car that I'm going to lose money on. You get what I mean?
Yeah, of course. And you were talking a little bit about people not understanding how long the process takes. Do people generally think it takes longer or shorter than what the actual process is? You mentioned the process usually taking about an hour.
Yeah, I think it's typically about an hour, hour and a half. If everybody's understanding of how the situation works, it will be very, very quick. But again, if you have to explain certain things or if you have to wait for certain decisions, it will add time.
Right. And has anybody changed their mind last minute when it comes to buying a vehicle? Or are you buying a
vehicle?
Honestly,
yes. That has actually happened to me before. It was, I want to say, maybe a month ago. I was in Vancouver buying a vehicle, and we met up at the bank. We test drove the car, everything. And the car ended up needing tires, and it was Michelin Pilot Sports. I don't know if you know about tires, but a set of those on that car that I was buying is about $1,500 to $2,000. So we spoke with the customer, and, you know, it was honestly a lot back and forth. And when we got finally the deal finalized, we went to go walk in the bank. The bank was about to close. And again, same exact situation about the bank draft. The guy was just worried about the funds. The bank was honestly of no help because they were about to close. So obviously they didn't want to deal with that. So the guy ended up changing his mind. He's like, hey, we'll just do this tomorrow. And we were like, hey, no problem. I totally get it. You want to make a knowledge decision, I guess, like know what you're doing.
Right.
So there's no problem. We can meet tomorrow at 9:30 as soon as the bank's open, and we went our ways. So we texted the guy to just confirm that tomorrow we're still good to go. And the guy reached out to us. He's like, hey, honestly, I don't really want to do the price that we agreed upon because it just feels too little to me. And imagine that's something that we had to deal with all day and we had to get a hotel. So we just tried our best to make the customer happy, and we agreed on another price, and we ended up buying the car the next morning.
That's awesome. So you pretty much tend to have customers that stick to their word and they end up selling you the vehicle usually.
There has been cars that I have bought and people will honestly, I don't even need to give them a deposit. This is like from Facebook. So if for example, there was one time I bought a car and it was a week after I had originally messaged them because they were busy all week. So I asked them, I'm like, hey, do you need a deposit? The guy's like, no, I don't need the deposit. I trust you. We ended up showing up. The guy was amazing. He was actually from Africa, believe it or not. And he was just telling us about all the stories and all his adventures. It was such a positive experience, like just seeing things from a different perspective.
Right. And I guess
it's just a success factor.
Since you started working with DriveOffer, what's changed here from the start?
Buying vehicles has become a lot easier since joining DriveOffer because, again, we're trying to scale the business as much as we can. So I've just been working on how I can make things faster and how I can be better prepared going into buying a car.
Right. So we're trying to be more efficient and make the entire process from start to finish quicker for it.
Exactly.
And that kind of wraps up my questions. Is there any additional questions you think I should have asked that would be of value to customers or anyone interested in maybe selling their vehicle?
Let me think about that for a second.
Yeah, take your time.
Honestly, I just hope really people would understand like how the bank drafts work, because if that has been the biggest pain in my ass, to be honest with you.
Right, it's just,
and of course it's not the people's fault. Yeah, like if we can get that message across, like, hey, we're just trying to do business legitimately. We're not trying to be shady. We're just trying to get it done as efficiently and as best as possible. And I promise you, even if you ask your bank, they'll tell you the same thing. Typically, the easiest and the best way to get a deal done is bank draft, because it leaves a paper trail.
Right, so everything can be tracked.
Exactly.
Who it's from, you know who it's going to.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, that kind of wraps up our interview. Thank you for doing this, Hassan.
No problem. Thank you.
Valuable information. But I'll let you go.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.